Such a blessing to be able to gather together and worship this morning. So thankful to have so many guests, folks that may be in town with family, but we are honored that you have come today to be here for worship. As I look out, I'm reminded of the occasion and happy Father's Day. What a blessing, Jacob. What a fantastic set of thoughts. Especially as I think about things that I needed to say I'm sorry to my dad about. And, you know, as one who saw my dad go home when I was 19, those 30-plus years have been hard. And so to those that are grieving newly this morning, to those that are continuing to grieve a loss, we are mindful of you in a special way today. But we do want to celebrate the goodness of God in His fatherhood and the blessing that it is for us to be His children. You know, as I think about that, I can't help but bring to you 9 smiles of the week, 9 different scenes from which, as Scripture tells us, there was great rejoicing in heaven over. And to think about those precious souls becoming part of God's family. Those young people saying, I want to follow Jesus with my life. It's not something that where we have to know everything, where we have to have everything figured out. It's just a place where we get to and we say, I believe Jesus is who He said He was. I believe that Jesus died on that cross for my forgiveness, for my sins. And I believe He rose again. Because of that belief, I'm going to do whatever Jesus asked me to do. And one of those early things He asked of us is to be immersed into His forgiveness and the blood that He shed for us. And what a beautiful thing it was. John wrote this in the 3rd letter that he wrote, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And as a dad, that's the greatest joy that I can think of in my life. It's the thought that says, I know my kids are living for God. I know my children are doing everything they can to walk in the things that are true. What a blessing. You know, I told you I had a few different smiles of the week this week, but one is Lulu Gribben. Maybe you've heard her story. Perhaps you have. She's the 15-year-old from Alabama who had gone on a beach trip with her mom to Seacrest, Florida, when on June the 7th, just last week, she and some friends were out searching for sand dollars. And as they were looking, as they were finding, they wanted to make sure that everybody had one. She sees a shark. And as everybody begins to swim back in, she says the words, stay calm. And in that calmness, in that pursuit for the shoreline, the shark attacks her. And blood begins to fill the water. And there are two gentlemen that come to her aid. One's a fellow by the name of Stephen Bean. He pulls her out of the shark's mouth, pulls her away from the shark. Another, Matt Lindell from Memphis, comes into the water and carries her body out of the water. And there are a host of others there. There are EMTs that were on the beach for vacation, nurses and other doctors that because of their presence there and their willingness to come to her aid, she's alive today. And as I think about this young lady, and I think about this unthinkable thing that happened to her, she lost her left hand, she lost part of her right leg. To think about others that have been attacked in similar situations, I can't help but think about the gentleman that ran to her aid. The gentleman that in the midst of an attack would put themselves in harm's way, because they knew if they didn't, she would not make it. Fathers, this is the picture of our world. This is our child. This is the world that is around us. Sharks are, as Paul would describe it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the devil and his schemes, not flesh and blood, but rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world. As Peter would say it in 1 Peter 5, verse 9 and 10, when he says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You see, we've got to run into the waters for our families. We've got to run into the waters for our friends, because when we see people hurting and we realize the effects that sin, and that's what it is, it's sin's effects on lives that Satan has attacked us with, and we see the brokenness and we see the hurt and the pain and we see the blood that is in the water of life around them. You know the effects. You've had the friends. You've been there yourself. And you realize that's why Jesus came. He came to the water to rescue me because I was going under and fast. Pray for this young lady. Pray for others that are in similar situations. Pray for God to use her life in a powerful and a mighty way, for her spirit not to be crushed through this accident, but Father, for her to see the plan that He has even beyond this attack. Because see, that's again what our lives are like. It's about seeing God's plan for us beyond the attack, beyond the rescue. Yes, you may still have scars. Yes, you may still go around with the painful memory of what happened when. But isn't it a beautiful thing to know that I've been redeemed? By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I am redeemed. But I've got to remember I'm in a fight. And it's a fight for my life. And it's a fight for my soul. And it's a fight for the souls and the lives of my children as well. I want you to think about this phrase. Several years ago in our men's class, we did this study. It was called Point Man. And it was by author Steve Farrar. He was very famous and had done a lot of work. And he began the picture of this challenge to men with this imagery. For those of you who served, I apologize that this is not too difficult to hear. But it was 1966. You're only 18. You're in the absolute prime of your youth. You've got a driver's license and plenty of dreams. Your entire life is ahead of you. But through a strange series of circumstances that you don't fully understand, your license is useless, your girlfriend's picture in your wallet, your dreams are on hold, and you're in a country thousands of miles away from home. Welcome to Vietnam, he writes. On this particular day, you would give anything not to be here, for you are going out on patrol. You've been on patrol before, but today is different. And that's why there's a knot in your gut and an icy fear in your heart. Today is different because the patrol leader has appointed you to be the point man. In essence, you're the leader. And everyone else will fall behind you. And so as you move out to encounter the enemy, you realize that the survival of those seven men stepping cautiously behind you will depend on just one thing: your ability to lead. Your judgment may determine whether they live or die. The responsibility hangs over your head like a suffocating humidity that hangs in the air. Your senses have never been so alive. Your adrenaline is surging, and you can almost hear it rushing through your veins. You know the enemy must be near, maybe just hundreds of yards. Intelligence reports heavy enemy activity where you were last night. Your job is to confirm or deny that activity. For all you know, they're watching you right now. Perhaps they can see you, but you don't have a clue where they are. As you gingerly make your way through the rainforest, you have one eye out for concealed wires on a path, another scanning the trees for snipers. Entire patrols have been lost because the point man failed to anticipate an ambush. Men have been killed, horribly maimed, and all because a point man lacked skill and wisdom. You never saw it coming. The violent shock, utter surprise, and gunfire momentarily paralyzes you, and despite your instant reaction training, before you can respond, a bullet tears through your flesh. Thousands of thoughts instantly flood your mind. Am I going to die? Where are those shots coming from? Is there one more? Will I lose my leg? Where's the patrol leader? And at one glance to your left, that family of the patrol leader is now fatherless. In the chaos of the attack, in spite of your wounds, the radio man makes his way to you because he knows that you are the most experienced. And in panic situations like this, the book goes out the window. Like it or not, you are now the leader. He goes on to describe the scene. He goes on to talk about how devastating the event was. And he says, it's all you can do to get a night's sleep without now reliving it again and again. He says, you're still in Vietnam on patrol. Imagine the same steamy rainforest, but something about this patrol is different. You are still the point man, but this time you're not leading a group of men. As you look around, you now see your wife and your behind you. You see your little girl trying to choke back tears, your young son trying to act brave, your wife holding the baby and trying to keep him quiet. And on this patrol, you don't want to engage the enemy. You want to avoid him. What would you be feeling under such conditions? The survival of each of your family members, essential. You realize you're in a fight. You see, as Paul winds up this letter to the Ephesians, he comes to this point in Ephesians chapter 6, and he's spoken to us about the goodness that is found only in Jesus Christ, the redemption that we have in Jesus. Ephesians 1:9, that every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. Man, that's why we saw those 9 beautiful baptisms this past week, because those young people said, I want to leave the world and I want to be in Christ. And they were immersed into Christ. And now we have forgiveness of sins. We have redemption. We're part of the patrol that is God's family in this world. And as Paul has gone through this letter talking about the blessing of being in Christ, the oneness that Jesus brought between the Jews and now the Gentile world, and they can be one in the family of God. The beautiful things that he says about the Christian life, how we're to be imitators of our God like our Heavenly Father. On and on, the lifestyle, the way it changes us, who we're to be. Now he comes to the fight. He comes to the reminder that we are in a battle. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the scripture says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, so whenever I speak, words may be given to me that I will speak fearlessly and make known the marvelous mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should. Be strong. Now, I want you to think about three E's with me this morning, and one is this. It's the idea that Paul's saying, hey, if you're going to fight this fight, you got to be properly equipped. You know, you're going to have to find that out next week, okay? We're going to talk about the equipment later on, but because today we're focused on the fight. But as it's kind of like football practice. When you start in the summer, you don't get any goods until you come back. And then there's finally a place and time where they go, okay, here's some pads. You got to come back to get the equipment. We'll talk about it next week. Beyond that, there's this idea of being educated. How important is it that we know what's going on in this world? That we know that there is a battle out there, that we understand something about those that we're fighting against. And understand this, don't mistake it. We are not fighting against people. We are not fighting against our brothers and sisters in Adam, okay? We are fighting against Satan and his desire to destroy people's lives, his desire to condemn souls into hell with him. That's who the enemy is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul writes this about being educated. Listen to this. Paul says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You see, one of the things that Paul says is that if we're going to be strong in the Lord, if we're going to fight this good fight, we've got to be educated about who Satan is, who is a part of his, what his schemes are, and what his desire is for us. So often I feel like we're walking through the world kind of oblivious to the attacks of the enemy on our lives. We're just, oh, that's just the way it is. Oh, that's just the way, that's just Hollywood, that's just media, that's just music. That's all these things that are kind of bouncing around my soul like spiritual bullets. And I'm wondering if we even recognize they're part of the schemes of Satan. We got to be educated. You think about our Department of Defense. You think about how many billions of dollars are spent each year on our safety as citizens of this country. You think about that investment and parallel it to us and our faith and our walk. What kind of investment are you making in the faith of your children? I know sometimes we look and we're like, oh man, a few years ago I had 7 camp payments at $200 a pop. And I was like, man, that's a lot of money, you know? But what it really was an investment that I was making in my kids. Our elders make an investment in our kids. There are things that when your kids want to go and be a part of church camp or go to a camp at Horizons or go on a mission trip and there are expenses that are excessive, we want to step alongside of families because we believe in making the investment in your fight. We want your kids to be able to experience the training and the opportunities that they get, even if there's a high cost. We got to make an investment. Oh man, we make investments in all kinds of places, don't we? I mean, we make investments hoping that one day it's going to be my kid that hits the walk-off home run in the College World Series. There's only one. It's not going to be all of them. What is really the thing that we ought to be passionate about? That we so often we make investments in their education and we send them to private school or we send them off to the university and we make these great investments. But what have I invested in the soul of my kids? What have I invested in keeping them out of the devil's crosshairs? What have I done to invest them in understanding and training them in how to avoid and how to be wise and how to see things that are actually spiritual landmines that they should avoid, how to understand how the enemy moves? What am I doing to invest in that? I've got to be a I've got to be my family's Department of Defense. I want to train them. I want them to understand in God's family there's a chain of command that Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. See, God was the authority, but He gave it to Christ so that everything that He would lay down would be part of our. We understand there's a chain of command. We understand that there's importance of us studying the enemy. You go back and you read and you observe how he tempted Adam and Eve. You learn something about Satan. You understand that Satan's going to come at you with, hey, did God really say that? You know what that is? That's, do you really believe the Bible? I mean, really all those things. I mean, y'all are doing this great VBS called the Ocean Commotion. Do you really think that happened? Do you really think that there was a great fish somewhere that could swallow somebody? And see, he starts asking these questions about, do you really think, so that you come back and go, well, there's this other thing God said I didn't have to do. Or there's this other thing that God said I shouldn't do, but I kind of really want to do it. And like Adam and Eve, we take and we eat of the fruit, whatever it is that is out of the bounds and out of the authority of God. And I think about Satan, and I watch Satan as he comes to Jesus and he tempts him with, as Scripture says, the lust of the flesh, something his body wanted. The lust of the eyes, something that was really good looking, really attractive, something that you couldn't stop looking at. Does that sound familiar today? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, Satan hadn't changed his tactics. He hadn't changed his main aim and end goal. He's using different equipment. He's using different resources. But we as a family, and we as the Point Men dads, have got to help our family be prepared. What are we doing to help our family be prepared for this fight? You see this imagery throughout Scripture over and over and over again. Paul saying, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. This idea of Satan being our enemy, this idea that we've had over and over, this imagery of we're in a fight. This past week, our country celebrated the 80th anniversary of D-Day, the invasion of Normandy, that major turning point in the Second World War when we said, we're going to fight. We can't stay out of this any longer. That we're going to be there. And can you imagine being on the other side of that door as it began to lay down on that beach? You didn't wonder at that point in time if you felt like fighting. You didn't wonder if you were really concerned about the Nazi party or what was going on here, that how you felt about. No, you knew what this was all about. And I want us to have that approach. We usually think about our Christian life and we think about all of the good things that we're able to do and the ways we're able to help and the good feeling of forgiveness and one day we die, we go to heaven and what a joy it will be. But do we realize that from here until that point, we are going to fight spiritually for our souls? Until we leave this earth, Satan is going to do everything he can to try to take us down. Take us back. Is it any wonder you watch people that stand in my position week in and week out on the news and there's some other phenomenon or some other news story that's come out about somebody who has been taken down because of the attacks of the enemy? We've got to be active in the fight. We must wake up to the war. We must think about where it is that our strength comes from. He starts this passage with the phrase when he says, and finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong. You remember Jameis Winston, Nash Chan. I looked at my teammates, I said, I'm Florida State national champions. We strong. We're going to be strong. Be strong. Dad, do you ever feel, though, like me, a little overwhelmed by the pressure? Do you ever struggle with wondering if you're going to make it? with wondering if you're pouring the right things into the lives of these kids that are following behind you, wondering if they're going to remain faithful to the Lord, to make it in this world of sin where everything is saying, do this, feel this, the confusion, the deception, the pain that is brought in. Be strong, Paul says, but I don't always feel strong. And if that's you this morning, I want to tell you, you're not alone. I don't always feel strong either. You realize that in this county, we have the second highest number of men in our state that have said, we just can't do it anymore. Williamson County. They said, I'm checking out. I can't handle it. I'm not strong enough. It's one of the greatest tragedies. To the men in our community, I wish we could all collectively say, listen, you're not alone. Keep fighting. Keep battling. We'll walk alongside of you. And besides that, you don't know about the real strength. Look at the text. He says, be strong. It's not you. He says, be strong in the Lord. Where's the strength come from? It's where those nine young people said, I want to be in Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in His might. It's not my strength. It's who I'm connected to. It's their strength. We're called to bear one another's burdens. I know your load's heavy, but you don't have to bear it alone. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. His strength is my strength. His power is my power. And think about it. Paul, when he wrote these words, I love this. He's sitting in a prison cell. A point of weakness in the eyes of the world. But he's writing these words and reminding them, hey, listen, you can be strong even when the world thinks you've lost. Paul says, I very well knows that he's probably going to be put to death. But he was still strong in the things that mattered. He was still strong in the Lord. He had the strength to stand. He had fortitude to be faithful for his family. He had courage to continue to confess the name of Jesus. When you think you can't, let me ask you this. Are you in Christ, first of all? Because that's where our strength comes from. You think about that famous passage that oftentimes get put on the back of t-shirts and things Paul's writing. When you read those words in Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ, we focus on the all things. And we're just like, oh, you're going to win the baseball tournament. Oh, you're going to get the job. You're going to do this. You're going to pass speech pathology school. You're going to do this. I can do all. Paul's just trying to make it. He's trying to get through the next day and stay faithful. And the thing he's telling, I can do all things because it's Christ that is giving me the strength to do this. Be strong in the Lord. If you're trying to gain your strength from your job, from the amount of sales that you can get, you're never going to be enough. If you're trying to gain the strength from your amount of popularity or the likes, they're going to always change their mind. It's going to be a disappointment. You're going to constantly be beaten down because you can't be liked enough by the world. If it's about some other thing that you're... But if you're strong in the Lord, I'm strong because He's strong. And if He's strong, we're strong. We're strong. And that's what Paul says. I want you to remember, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. You go back to Ephesians 3, verse 16. He's teaching us how this great prayer of faith, for we kneel before the Father in whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives His name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, here it is, the prayer Paul's praying for the Christians there, that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit, through His Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and being rooted and established, that you may have power together with all of the Lord's people. Be strong. Be strong. I know it's hard, but you're not alone. And in Christ, He will give you the strength. So you think about that idea of the whole armor and understanding the fight and the battle, and most importantly, we've got to be engaged. We cannot be so consumed by all things that are going on here and this and that and what are we doing here and you know and just okay son, okay, I'll be there in a second. And be engaged with your family. Be engaged with your wife like you used to be when you were engaged to your wife. Be intent. Be passionate in the pursuit of them. But most importantly, realize that we are in a battle. And I've got to be engaged. I got to know what's going on my kids' cell phones if I've decided to give them a phone. I've got to know what's going on on what they're watching on a screen. It's not behind a bedroom door in a TV that's closed off to everybody in the house that we all disappear to each other in our different directions. I want to be engaged in the life of my family. Perhaps my favorite story of the week. Maybe you've seen it. If you hadn't, go watch it. Named Nick Mangione? What do you call it? How do you say it, Chris? Chris, how do you say it? Kentucky fan? Where are you? The one in the house? Mangione? All right, good. He's over here, that Chris. Go watch his clip after he won, headed to the World Series of baseball, then college baseball. I don't know if I've ever seen a college coach bring his son to sit beside him at a press conference. And I know I've never seen a college coach who in the middle of it begins to play a song and sing it with the song as he's talking about his faith. The song is a conversation we've had this morning. When all I see is the battle, Lord, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see the mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There is nothing to fear, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay down at your feet, I'll sing through the night. God, the battle belongs to you. And if you're for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there is nothing impossible for you. When I see all I see is the ashes, Lord, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. He sings that song and in tears, he says, my son Reeves, he says he knows a Bible verse for every letter of the alphabet. I thought that's pretty stinking amazing. And he says, Reeves, what's the one for J? And he said, and Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And he said, it's not about winning a game. It's about loving these young men. It's about honoring God with our lives. He said, it's been a pretty awesome week. He says, as a matter of fact, he said, this week, Reeves, his son, he said, was baptized into Christ. And he said, they didn't have to come, but every one of our team members came to the house to watch it. I said, that's a guy who gets it. That's a guy who understands it. And you look at those smiles on those faces. There's a guy who said, when I fight on my knees. The battle belongs to you. And friends, if you're fighting this fight without Jesus, you are fighting a losing cause. It's impossible. We cannot win this battle without the one who's already been victorious. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the fact that death has already been swallowed up in victory. Jesus has proved who the victor is. We just need to decide to be on the winning side. We need to decide that the battle is going to belong to Him in our lives. Are you going to keep fighting it alone, or are you going to allow Jesus to be your captain? If there's any way we can help you, pray for you, encourage you today, we want to do that as we stand together and as we sing.